and are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. Brother Sher, I appreciate that prayer. I always am thankful and appreciative of all the good comments I get about preaching and stuff. It's really uplifting. It is really a privilege to be able to teach from the Lord's Word. And I hope y'all get a little bit out of it and enjoy it as much as I do preaching. I really enjoy teaching from the Lord's Word. So have you ever had a doctor tell you that you needed to take a little bit better care of yourself? I'm sure that everybody in here might have one time or another been told this. With our work, we have to, every year, we have to have blood work and a physical. And did this year, and I knew when I took mine, it probably wasn't going to be good. And the doctor told me that I was pre-diabetic, that I needed to change the way I eat, needed to exercise, cut out carbs and stuff. Any of y'all ever been around me at a fellowship meal, you know that's hard to do because I like to eat. It's a hard thing to do, but I decided to do something about it. I didn't really want to have to start taking medicine for diabetes, and so I've made changes. I've exercised. I've lost a little weight, try to do a little bit better. It's a hard thing to do, but, you know, when you think about our physical health, that we'll do things like that. We'll try to do what we can to stay healthy. I know if you watch TV today, it seems like that's what our society is focused on, diet and exercise, because there's some all the commercials we see on TV, that's what majority of them are about. But we do this because, you know, we want to try to stay healthy. When we think about why we do, you know, I know as far as myself, I would like to be healthier so that myself and hopefully my wife can grow old together and see our children and grandchildren, you know, and we just hope to live longer for our family. And also, I think about, we need to remember, when we think about our physical health, we need to remember 1 Corinthians 6:19 that says, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, and we put a lot of emphasis on our physical health a lot of time, but that got me to thinking, do we put as much effort or emphasis on our spiritual health? Our spiritual health is so important. You know, no matter how much we diet, no matter how much we exercise, and we know this and we've discussed this before, it's 100% that we're going to all pass from this world someday. Hebrews 9:27 says, and it is appointed for man to die once, but after this the judgment. When you think about the latter part of that verse, when we think about the judgment, we don't want to meet our Maker one day spiritually unfit or spiritually unhealthy. We want to make sure that we will be spiritually fit when we meet our Maker and that we can receive our reward, which we know is a New Testament Christian, if we've done what we should, we've lived the kind of life we need to and taken those steps, that we'll have a home with Jesus in heaven one day, and we'll live in paradise. So we need to do all we can to stay spiritually healthy, and that's what we're going to talk about for a little while this morning. I'm probably not going to make the 10:30 that Greg talked about, but I've done figured out a long time ago. Rhonda tells me to read them. That doesn't do any good. Sometimes I go short. Sometimes I go long. Y'all have heard me talk enough that we'll just see where it goes. Miss Gay won't be too late, I promise you. So my number one point, to have a good spiritual health, we need to feed our soul a healthy diet. You think about part of our physical health is a healthy diet, and most of the time, you know, a healthy diet, if it tastes good to you, don't eat it because it's not good for you. So we know that as far as physically, we need to eat a healthy diet, but when you think about your soul or your spirit, it needs to be fed a healthy diet too. When you think about, this is the best food you can feed your spirit. I mean, this is the most nutritious thing that we can give. You know how all the boxes, they have your nutritional information. Well, if the Bible had it, it would all be good. And in serving size, it would be as much as you can take daily, because we need to make sure that we are constantly feeding our soul from the Word of God, because it is the most nutritious food that we can have. When you think about feeding your soul, we need to do daily Bible study. It's essential to our spiritual health. I mean, the more that we study from the Word, the more we go to it, the stronger we're going to become spiritually. Just like we know a daily diet of food for our physical health is important. And you think about how strong can your spirit or your soul be if the only time that you feed from the Word of God is on Sunday or Wednesday. You know, it wouldn't be too strong. Same way, you think about physically, if we only ate two or three times a week, we wouldn't be too healthy. So we need to eat a healthy body so that our bodies are eat healthy food so our bodies can be strong and we can fight sickness. And the same can be said for our soul, because our spiritual health is bombarded by sickness. And that sickness is sin. We know that's the greatest sickness that we face as Christians, and it's a plague to our soul. And when you think about eating, like I said, I put in here, I love junk food. I do. You know, you take a Mountain Dew, some Flamin' Hot Cheetos, some Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, that's good stuff. I mean, I enjoy that. But if I eat like that all the time, I'm going to end up in the same situation I was the first of this year, and I'm not going to be in very good health. Well, when you think about your spirit, it's the same way. If we constantly bombard ourselves with junk, where's that going to get us spiritually? It's not going to be good. That our souls can't survive on junk either. And when you think about sin, I said, is our spiritual sickness. You know, sin is desirable. Most of the times, that's how Satan wheels us in. It looks good to us. Just like junk food or whatever we like to eat is good to us. But most of the time, when you talk about sin, and same way with Satan, you know, we all, the old pictures you see of Satan, he's got horns and forked tail and a pitchfork. I heard a man, I think it was at CYC, talked about it one time. He said Satan would probably be the most handsome person you've ever seen, because if he showed up to your door with the horns and the tail, you're going to turn him away. But that's how he's able to get to us. That's how he causes us to sin. Sin looks good to us, and that's going to cause us to feed of it or get into sin. And I know that when Mark and myself used to teach the young people, we did a series and we told them garbage in and garbage out. What I'm saying there, if we constantly fill our spirit, fill our heart with garbage, that's what's going to come forth out of us. That's the way we're going to act, and that's the way that we will live our life. And especially this day and time, you think about all that we're bombarded with. When you think about the internet, we need to be careful. Searching the internet, need to be careful what we watch on TV. We stressed our young people about don't watch bad movies. Well, as adults, we don't need to either. We don't need to watch that stuff. It's not good for us either. So we need to be sure that we stay away from that, that we make sure that whatever we're listening to, the way we talk, even people we hang around with, we need to make sure that we are feeding our spirit righteous food every day. When you think about it, if you have a sinful diet, said it will cause a sickness that can truly be eternal, an eternity of torment, pain, and sorrow. We know that if we die lost or we die in a sinful condition, that's what awaits us. You know, you read in Lazarus and the rich man said he fed sumptuously every day. You know, he did not care about his fellow man. He didn't care about the poor. What was his reward? He was in torment. It was so bad, he was begging for just someone for Lazarus to put his finger in water and touch his tongue, because it was so awful. And that's not what we want. We do not want to face that. We never want to be in a situation like that, because we know that is what we will face if we are lost. So we want to be sure to feed our souls a healthy diet. Matthew 5 and 6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." So we should hunger for righteous things. We should fill our spirits with good, love, happiness. And remember that we should long, and this comes from 1 Peter 2:2, we should long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it we may grow up into salvation. So let's feed from God's Word daily. Let's read and study every chance we get. And while it is important to be physically healthy, we need to remember that, trust me, the rewards from being spiritually healthy will last an eternity. It's a whole lot more rewarding for us to be spiritually healthy. Number two, to be spiritually healthy, we must exercise our faith. Now, I know y'all are like me, exercise is kind of a bad word. I don't particularly like it. I do. I've started back riding a bicycle because that's about the only exercise I really enjoy doing. And it's the same way when we talked about a diet to keep our body, our physical body healthy. We have to exercise. Well, the same thing is true for our spirit, to be spiritually healthy. When you think about Christianity, Christianity is a faith of action. It's, you know, we need to do something with it. I know we talked about in Sunday school that sometimes, you know, we think, well, I've been saved. I'm good. I've done all I need to do. But that's a dangerous path to take. And when I talk about this, I speak from experience on this, because there was a time when I was a Christian, but I was not active in the church. I would not do any kind of work or do as little as I could get by with, you know. And when you do that, like in my case, you become lukewarm. And that's not a good thing. Revelation 3:15-16, Jesus says, I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And that's a pretty harsh when we think about that. We don't want Jesus to do that to us because we are lukewarm. You know, he says he would rather us neither be, you know, hot or cold, either way. But we need to be sure that we're active. I know in my case, you know, I made a change, and as I've told y'all the story before, a lot of it, when we decided to come to Tresman, I made up the mind, you know, I had the mindset I was going to do different. I was going to change. And as I always say, I will do anything for the church except lead singing. And if it got to the point I had to, I would. I hope we don't get to that point where I have to lead singing. But if I had to do it, I would, because I believe that we need to do whatever we can for the church. Being active isn't hard. I know when we talk about working for the church, a lot of people get scared because they naturally think they're going to want me to teach. They're going to want me to preach, something like that. Well, we don't have to do that. It is difficult. Both of them are intimidating. I'll be the first to admit. They're neither one easy. But when you think about the work of the church, there are so many jobs that you can do for the work, to work for the church. It's simple as calling to check on someone, sending cards, visiting. You can help with the building. I guarantee Mark and Sharon will welcome any help, you know, and you ought to be willing to tell them, say, if you need me to help you with something. All this are things that we can do for the church. There is so much work for everyone. I know y'all have heard me say it many times, but I do believe the more that you are willing to work and the more you work for the church, your faith will increase. It will make you stronger, because you're helping the Lord's church. Well, you're going to say, but Dale, I've worked all day long. I'm tired. I just don't have the energy to do that. I know this. We all are tired. We have long days. You know, some of us don't feel well. Let me ask you a question. You think Jesus was tired when he carried that cross to Calvary? Think about it. He'd been humiliated. He'd been beaten, you know, slapped, spit on, and still carried his own cross to be crucified upon. I'm sure he was tired, so we need to think about that next time we think about we're too tired. So I know we're all busy, but trust me, working for the Lord's church is worth it. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. Like I said, I was a hearer only. Well, we don't want to be that way. We want to be doers. And you know, you may ask yourself, and I know we've already talked about a lot of the physical aspects of helping the church, and we may not know sometimes what being doers of the word is. Well, as I talked about in Sunday school, and as I just talked about in my first section, we need to study the word, and we know what a lot of the things of being doers of the word are. When you think about what to do, as I said, you know, the Lord give us not only is this spiritual food, but it's also an instruction manual. It tells us how to live and how to treat others. You know, the Bible is our instruction manual. You know, when you think about doers of the word, we need to love your neighbor. Love your enemies. We need to seek and save the lost. And the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We can feed the hungry, we can clothe the naked, and most importantly, living a good Christian life. And these are ways to be doers of the word. And closing out this section, I want to read James 2:14-26, if you'll bear with me. Beginning in verse 14, it says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you not? But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So it's not just enough to have faith. We need to make sure that we have an active faith. We need to make sure that we're working. We need to be sure that we exercise our faith every chance that we get, and it will make us spiritually stronger. And finally, number three, to be spiritually healthy, we need to keep regular appointments with a great physician. Now, I don't do this as much with my physical health as I put in my lesson. We should probably, as our physical health, at least once a year, if we're in pretty good shape, we need to have regular appointments with our doctor to make sure that we stay healthy and doing what we need to do. Well, it's the same way when we think about our spiritual health. You know, Jesus is called the great physician. We need to make sure that we regularly come to Jesus and we have regular appointments with him. And you think about that Jesus is our great physician. During his ministry, he healed physical as well as spiritual ailments. And when you think about our scripture reading, Mark 2:17, Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to all the righteous, but sinners. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And think about it. He came, yes, he can heal our physical ailments, but he came to seek and save those of us that are lost, the sinner. He called us to repentance. We all have sin. That's our spiritual sickness. But Jesus is the cure no matter how bad the sin is. I know that we see a lot of people that say, well, Jesus wouldn't accept me because I'm too bad of a sinner. There's no such thing as being too bad of a sinner. Jesus will accept everyone if you are pure in your heart and you truly want to accept him. He will forgive you. So we all have sin that is our spiritual sickness. Jesus is the cure no matter how bad the sin is, and through him we can find the cure, which is forgiveness. We know the steps. You know we have to accept Jesus. There are so many of the plans of salvation, and he will cure us of this sickness. It says, however, to really know our physician, we need to have regular contact. Our spiritual health requires more than Sunday and Wednesday checkups. Same way with reading the Bible, the most that we can, you know, I mean, I encourage everyone to be here at every service. Regularly, I know with myself, it is so important, you know, and I'm just a man like everybody else. True, I'm an elder of this church, but, you know, I struggle like everybody else. And church is what coming in fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ is what builds me back up, what strengthens me. You know, as I told them in Sunday school, life beats us up. We all know this. Life is hard, and we struggle with so many things, you know. That's what that midweek, you know, we go from Sunday, we hit Wednesday, we might have been first couple of days, but Wednesday boosts me back up. It helps me get through to the next time. And I told them in Sunday school, you know, I would, no matter how many days a week that we had it, I would be here. It is so important. We have got to have regular contact with our Lord. And then when you think about we need to come to him every day, and that's where we have the avenue of prayer. We all know that the Lord knows what we need before we do. He knows our needs. He knows what is going on in our life. But when you think about prayer, we have the avenue of prayer because that builds the relationship with our Lord. You know, and that's the same way where if you have a relationship with your doctor, he can help you what's going on. He knows what's going on. Well, relationship with God is so important. We have to have regular talks, and we have to build our relationship. It's so important. And that's what prayer will do. Also, regular worship and fellowship with our fellow Christians is a part of our healthy spirit. You know, we talked about in Sunday school about false teachers separating the weak. Well, as a group, as all together, we're a lot stronger as Christians. If we'll all come together, we'll help each other, we will be a lot stronger. And it will make us stronger as a body of God's people. I said earlier, there is no sin that Jesus won't forgive and no burden he can't ease. Matthew 11:28-30 says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And when we think about our spiritual health, we know that all of us, as I said, struggle with sin. And there might be someone here today that is spiritually sick. This is a time we offer invitation. If you are spiritually sick, if you have troubles and burdens in your life, you know, you can come forward and we will help you with this. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, which that's the most serious sickness that you can have, is be, as I said, one day meet our Maker and not be saved. It is so important that you come to the Lord, that you accept him, and you be baptized into his church. Nobody's going to judge you. As a body of God's people, that's what we want for you. We'll help you any way we can. And like I, as Tim said, you know, the hardest part is stepping out in the aisle. And as I've said before, if that's what's holding you back and you need somebody to walk with you, I'll come walk with you if that's what you need. It's just so imperative, and we beg and plead with you, if you have never been baptized into the Lord's church, that you make today that day. If you have any other needs that you need that we can help you with, if you just want prayers, if you just want to talk, let us know what you need as we stand and sing.